Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and life coach Wendy Dillard here. Today is Friday, December 22nd, 2017. Happy Friday, everybody. Just one shopping day left before Christmas because you really can't count Sunday anymore. But I hope you got most of your shopping done and that you're ready for a really great holiday. We've given you all kinds of tips over the last couple weeks about how to get through the holidays and make it nice and smooth and happy and enjoyable. So now's the time to relax and have fun. That's what we're going to do today with our Daily Dose of Happy here on LOA Today. How are you doing today, Wendy?
I'm doing really great. I was one of the people who was out and about, not doing Christmas shopping for gifts, but I was doing my Christmas food shopping because the whole family of 14 is going to descend upon me, and I'm doing all the cooking. Here's one of the things that, to me, I just find fascinating. I took the day off from work so I could do my prep because most of my family is starting to come in tomorrow. And I knew I needed to grocery shop, and I knew today would be better than tomorrow in terms of food being on the shelf and me being able to get in and out in a timely way. But I just kept being led to do other things this morning.
Okay.
And so by the time I finally left my house, I thought, I kind of feel like I'm cutting it close in order to, like, get my shopping done, get it unpacked before the show starts.
Uh-huh.
But what is typical for me is I'm like, well, but I was following my guidance this morning. I was doing what felt like the right thing for me to be doing. So that being the case, we'll just see what happens.
Very
and
cool.
So while I was shopping, there came a point where I knew that there would be so much in my cart, it would be really unwielding. And as I was telling you before the show, not only is it cold here in Dallas, but it was also pouring rain. So by the time I got to the grocery store, the left side of my body was soaked. And even though I had all my protective stuff and I had a great umbrella, it wasn't enough because in Texas, when it rains going every direction. So anyway, at a certain point while I was shopping, I just got the impulse, check out, put it in your car, and come back and do it again and get the rest of your groceries, which my logical mind says, well, that's inefficient. But I tend to follow the guidance that comes to me, so I did. And while I was checking out, the person who was bagging my groceries, incredibly lovely, very pleasant, you know, engaging me in very happy holiday conversation, which makes the whole experience, you know, of shopping just that much more delightful. And when I went out, and notice the whole time I'm shopping, I have no idea what's happening outside weather-wise. And when I went out, the rain had stopped. And I'm like, this is the perfect time. So I unloaded all my stuff in the trunk, and then I went back in, like now with a bounce in my step, because I'm feeling so excited that I was guided to do this, because this is the bulk of my shopping, you know, when it wasn't raining. So I'm like, this is awesome. So I go back in, I finish up my shopping, and now I'm as I'm walking down the aisles, I'm noticing people having huge smiles on their face. And like this one person walked by me, and I thought, oh my God, this person's eyes just like said hello and I love life. And I was just drinking that in. I'm like, this is so juicy. And so I go through the cashier line again. I had the same lady, even though I was about three aisles away from where I was the first time, she was still bagging my groceries, and she's like, ah, here you are again. And, you know, just more lovely chit-chat. Head on out to the parking lot. Again, it's still not raining again. I'm like, oh, my God, this is so great. So I get everything packed into my car. More people are just smiling at me. And whether I instituted or they did, it didn't matter, because I was just experiencing the joy that I was getting from other people smiling. So now I'm looking at my watch. I'm like, okay, I have like 30 minutes to get home, and it's about a 10-minute drive. And right now I'm parking in my driveway, and I have to go through a gate, and then I have to go through the back door. And so it's kind of an ordeal to, like, unpack. And I just kept thinking, but everything always works out for me. And I'm in the flow, and I was following guidance. And there was actually joy in running it down to the wire. There was something really fun about that. And then when I called in, because, you know, I always call in 10 minutes before just so we can take care of all our logistics stuff.
Right.
While we were talking, the 10 minutes of pre-show, I was finishing unpacking my groceries, and literally by the time we were ready to start the show, my groceries were all put away. The whole shopping experience is behind me, but it has left me with this really great feeling of happiness. And so when you said, how are you today? That's how I am. I'm feeling really joyful and happy.
That's fantastic. I have a parallel story to that, believe it or not, because Louise and I also went shopping today, and we had a very similar experience. Now, we didn't have the experience with the rain that you had, but we were just blown away how, I mean, the store was packed, which you'd kind of expect before the holiday. And, I mean, just navigating down a single aisle to get to something was like, you know, trying to go over the hurdles on the track and field track. I mean, it was just crazy trying to get through. And everybody was so nice. We were smiling, getting out of each other's way. Everybody was getting along. I'm thinking, where are these people during the rest of the year? I never see them.
Obviously, they're focused on something different the rest of the year.
Apparently. So, I mean, we couldn't quite figure out, is this our energy that's doing that? Is it just the holiday? What is it? I don't know, but I'm liking it, whatever it is. I hope it continues throughout the rest of the year. Because that's fantastic when that happens. It feels so good.
Yeah. And, you know, that's something that I've just recently started to do, which is instead of asking, how did this happen and why did it happen so I can repeat it, I just let that all go and I'm just enjoying the moment. It feels so good, and I spend more time now basking in the pleasure of whatever goodness I've just experienced instead of trying to figure out how I got it.
Well, listen, we've got, actually, we have somebody who has called in on the call line, believe it or not.
Yippee!
And they actually tried to call back because I think they really want to get in. So let's see who's here. Who is calling in today? Whoops. Oh, I just disconnected. Oh, jeez, I hit the wrong button. I can't believe I did.
Call back!
Oh,
call back.
No. Oh, I am so sorry. Oh, I can't believe I did that. Oh.
That's okay. Well,
I aimed right at it, too. That was just... Oh, dear. Please do call back. That, I really wasn't trying to hang up on you. We'd love to talk to you. Oh, here they are. They're calling again. So let's see if I can hook them in this time.
Good.
Hi there. I'm sorry about that. Who's calling in?
Hey, my name's Les. How's it going?
Hey, Les. I'm sorry I disconnected you. I'm still getting used to this board here, and I absolutely hit the wrong button. So it's just the way it goes sometimes. But thanks for calling.
No problem.
How you doing today?
Pretty good. I realized it was 4 o'clock. I couldn't figure out how to listen to your show, so I figured I'd call it.
Oh, okay. What do you normally listen on?
I didn't see a live feed on the website, so I figured I'd just call in.
Oh, my goodness. I wonder what's going on the website. I'll have to check that out later on. But thank you for letting me know about that.
Just off my phone, so.
Okay. All right. What kind of phone do you have, too? That always helps me knowing what the technology is. Is it a
Samsung, Neo, something?
It's an Android. Oh, okay. That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah.
So what's up? What can we talk about today?
I basically just want to call your show and let you know, like, I've listened to pretty much all your broadcasts. Been listening to them since June or July.
Fantastic.
I find it really helpful to listen to some about the Law of Attraction every day. It gives me a lot of helpful insight. Just want to call and let you know that.
Well, I'm glad you did. We're both glad you did. That's terrific. What's been going?
Yeah, it's an interesting progression, seeing how your show evolved. Beginning with your wife, eventually going to Joel, and now you're doing it with how many co-hosts during the week now?
We've got 5 now. Wendy is doing it five days a week, and then there's also David still on Sundays, and then Joel is still doing it on Thursdays. He actually came back. And then Tuesday and Wednesday in the morning is Cindy Chavez, and Monday and Friday is Tom Wells. So, yeah, we got quite a team here.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I'm loving your show. I just want to call and just know that.
Have you been having any interesting experiences with LOA recently?
The most interesting thing is I manifested my first car, and it's actually a Mercedes.
Awesome.
Whoa.
Nice manifestation. Well done.
Yeah. I made a vision board a few months ago. I would focus on it. I would really get into thinking about Mercedes a lot. So anytime I was on the bus, I would think about Mercedes. Every time I saw one drive down the street, I would pay attention to that. I'd imagine myself driving it. My friend's roommate was leaving the country, and he sold me his Mercedes for a pretty good deal.
You gotta love it when that happens, I tell you.
Yeah.
Fantastic. That's terrific.
Well, so, and you know what, Les, today... Oh, and I just want to make sure, is your name Russ with an R or Les with an L?
Wes with a W.
Oh my gosh. So I'm glad I asked. So Wes with a W. Thank you, Wes. Oh my gosh. So
yeah,
it's the Wes, Walt, and Wendy show today.
That's
love
right. The three W's.
So the topic that we were going to just kind of chat about was the thought of evidence. Like, why do we need evidence to trust that the law of attraction is really working on our behalf?
Yeah.
And so I'm really curious, before we dive into that, did you sense that you were doing what was necessary in order for that Mercedes to show up, and you knew it was going to happen? Or were you a little bit surprised when it did, and yet you thought, well, I focused on it? What was your experience with it?
Well, I got to the point of focusing on it so much that I just believed eventually it would happen. And it became like a daily thing. Multiple times a day I would focus on it and really pay attention to. So I ended up just believing it, and it just kind of happened.
So when you first started thinking you'd like to have a Mercedes, was it easy for you to believe that, or was there a little bit of resistance in it?
No, there's definitely some resistance. It wasn't until I made my vision board that I put a couple of Mercedes on. I would look at that every day and be like, yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I built it up a bit before I started a daily practice multiple times a day.
So you really didn't have any doubt. That's good.
Was the practice something that you had, like, decided in advance, I'm going to follow this practice of focusing on it, or did it just kind of happen?
It just kind of happened. I plan to really focus on a lot of my goals with LOA, but I just kind of honed in on that one, made that my main goal, and followed through with it.
Very nice.
That's fantastic. What else do you have on your vision board? You said you had some other goals on there. Can you share any of them?
Yeah, I'll share a few of them. I've got a couple of Rolexes, which is kind of cool. You know, I like Rolexes.
Okay.
I've got like a travel and lifestyle section. So it's got some TP, some landscapes, looks like some sort of Middle Eastern hallway. I don't know how to describe it. I've got the Northern Lights, got a couple DJ pictures and stuff like that. I've also got like a health section, so good healthy food, got a kayak here, running shoes, punching bag. That's another one of my main goals right now, just get as healthy and in shape as possible. So.
Yeah, you hear a big health thing going on there. So that's terrific.
Yeah.
And is that something that you've already been engaged in?
It's something I engage myself more and more every day.
Okay, so this is like you're wanting to expand movement in your body and expand more adventurous sports and expand the health pieces. So does that sound about right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I've always...
Okay.
Focusing on even the subtle subconscious things in my body, just telling myself my body's working well, my body works for me, I treat my body well. I guess information.
I gather then that your health is doing well.
Pretty well, yeah. I've got no complaints. Everyone at work's having a cold right now, and I felt one coming on, but I just kept telling myself, no, I'm healthy, I'm going to will myself healthy, I'm not going to let myself get sick, and I've been pretty good so far.
Good for you.
Awesome.
By the way, try the laughter thing. I don't know if you heard any of those episodes, but laughter has been shown to be a great way to knock off stuff, especially on the early onset. So when you start to feel sick, you know, just find some comedian or whatever to watch or listen to and just laugh your head off. It will kill it off immediately.
I've heard you mention in a few shows Robin Williams in the Actors Studio.
Yeah.
I keep meeting on looking that one up, actually.
That's my favorite one, I have to admit. I love that one a lot.
Yeah, you speak really highly of it, so I expect it to be pretty funny.
It is. The first 10 minutes, I mean, he was on. He was just playing on that day. It was great. He does this great riff with the scarf. It's just unbelievable. I learned later on that the scarf has almost gone into lore, practically has its own museum place because of what he did with it. So.
Oh, wow.
Pretty crazy stuff. Well, fantastic. I'm glad to hear that so much is happening so well for you. And I'm glad that you called in just because you're a listener. I mean, I don't know if I can tell this in a way that makes the most sense, but it makes my day, Wes, that you called in. It really does.
Well, that's kind of why I did, too. I'm such a big fan of your show. And you say every week, someone, if you're listening, call in. I know you've only had a few calls, so I'm glad I'm one of those first calls.
All right. Great. Well, keep listening.
And I'll tell you, here's a little bit of evidence, if you will, of law of attraction. because I wasn't working my day job today and had the day off, I had some time this morning to just really focus on whatever felt like the thing that I wanted to focus on. And I was even asking the universe, what would be something awesome to focus on today? And one of the things that came to mind was, we're going to have callers starting to call in. Like, this is going to be a regular part of our show,
mm-hmm.
that callers will be calling in. I didn't necessarily say it has to happen today, but I just love that. I know I focused on that this morning. And so, Wes, you are actually part of the evidence of we've focused on this, and boom, you called in. So thank you so much for being a part of that. That's a really big deal to me. And I know it is for Wes, Walt as well.
Yeah, it's great that you did that, and keep on listening. And by the way, please share it too. I mean, you're loving the show, so mention it occasionally on your social media channels and so forth, because we're trying to spread the word as fast as we can. Okay.
Actually, that's funny. Right before I considered calling in, I went on Reddit and I shared it because I remembered you saying share it on your social media.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
But
hey, all right.
I went in, I put it there. Hopefully, I got you a few more viewers.
Hey, we appreciate it. Fantastic. Well, thanks again.
You're awesome.
You are the best.
Thank you. Well, I'm sure I'll call you again sometime there, Walt.
Thank you so much, and have a happy and healthy holiday.
Yeah, you as well. Merry Christmas.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that was great.
That was way awesome. Love it.
Thank
love
you,
it,
Wes.
Love it.
I mean, my smile just got bigger and bigger.
And that's more evidence. I know that's what I was focusing on today, is people wanting to call in and interact with us on the show, because, like we've said before, others have so much more to add besides just you and me. I mean, you and I have a lot to share, but, the dynamics of the show just get so much richer when we have more people's energy that are a part of, what I call the energy soup of our show.
Absolutely. So,
awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. By the way, if you want to call in, feel free. The number is 860-264-5432. 860-264-5432. We'd love to hear from you.
Or if you want to call in through Skype, because some people, that's a U.S. number, and so if that's a long-distance thing for you, if you want to connect with us through Skype, you can certainly do that. And the username is Libertarian TV.
That's it. That'll get you right in. We'll be glad to take you either way. So, feel free to call in. But you're the one who came up with the topic of evidence today. And I just think it's fascinating. On the day that you come up with that topic, what do we get? We get evidence.
Well, and in the pre-show when we were going, okay, so what's our topic for the day? You were looking through your Rolodex of, different options, and I just said the word evidence is coming to me. And I actually had that while I was driving home from the grocery store. I just heard the word evidence. And I knew what that meant because I'd been kind of just rolling this around in my thought process. I thought, how is it that I have now come to the point in my life where I don't require nearly as much evidence to believe law of attraction is working on my behalf as I did many years ago? And I just kind of started to think about what has allowed me to, just trust, that the laws of the universe are really working on my behalf. And to me, it's as I started to fill my mind with really powerful suggestions. I know you and I before, we've talked about things like as beliefs, like when you have good beliefs or solid beliefs. But I'd like to go behind that, because a belief doesn't just show up. A belief is only a belief because you've thought about something for so much time that eventually it kind of takes root, and then it becomes a belief.
Right, because it's like Abraham says, a belief is a thought that we keep thinking over and over again.
Exactly. And the more I had listened to Abraham, the more I heard Abraham providing really new information for me, or information that I think I'd always felt inside of me, but I'd never articulated, or it might have even been conflicting with what the environment around me had been saying, so I never really locked onto it. But when Abraham would say something, it just had such weight to it. It's like internally I felt such a sense of resonance, like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. I think I've always believed that. I just didn't know that that was something that I could believe in. And so I know over time I have adopted new thoughts, like the one we talked about the other day, everything's always working out for me.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about it. It sounded really cool. I don't think I believed it at first, because I'm like, I'm not thinking everything's always working out for me.
Oh, I doubted it.
I don't. You did believe it?
Oh, I did not believe it. I had a lot of doubt.
Yeah, I didn't believe it at first. So over time, you know, I'd have something happen in my life that didn't feel so great. And I'm like, see, it's not working out for me. But then I started to recognize, well, wait a minute. The reason it's not working out for me is because I'm focusing on how it's not working out for me. And it was one of those, moments.
Yeah, it's one of those things that happens. When it happens, you say to yourself, "That's a really weird combination of thoughts that I just put together, but it produces an interesting result." And you start to get used to that after a while.
So I wonder what would happen if I experimented when something happened that I didn't like the results. Instead of focusing on, I don't like this result, I just would kind of like my own incantation or my own mantra, and I'd just say, well, somehow, some way, things are going to turn around, even from this experience, in a way that I couldn't have predicted, but it's all going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Notice, I wasn't using Abraham's words, because those still felt a little too foreign to me.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, I started to really recognize, if I don't stay focused in the moment that I'm not liking something, and I just kind of let time happen, then I can look back on it with hindsight and go, well, that actually did end up producing a positive result. So maybe I was short-sighted by judging it in the moment that it didn't feel good, because I didn't give enough time for the fullness of whatever that experience was going to actually be. And so as I started to do that, I mean, that was my own private experiment. I wasn't telling other people about it, because I really didn't want other people's thoughts or opinions. I just wanted this my own private little something.
Mm-hmm.
And little by little, I went, well, things do kind of always work out for me. And then the next thing I knew, I didn't make a conscious effort to do it, but I noticed I started just saying that. You know, when people go, well, how did these things work out for you? I'm like, I don't know, but everything always works out for me. I'm just lucky. I'm magical. I don't know, whatever you want to call it, but things are always working out for me. Until that became a mainstay for me, where I focused on it so much that I would say now, no matter what happens in my world, that's almost the first thing that I respond with internally.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, whatever's going on, don't know, don't care, but everything always works out for me. So just watch it unfold, Wendy, and you're going to enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
This is life's journey, you know? And it's like, wow, this is kind of fun.
You know, when you're talking about that evolution you went through, it does remind me in many ways of what I've gone through. And in the very early stages, I was extremely doubtful. And I was also confused because I was hearing, for instance, the way The Secret and Rhonda Byrne teaches it. I was hearing the way Abraham Hicks teaches it. I was hearing how people who are not necessarily LOA but are teaching the same concept anyway, I was hearing how they taught it. I was hearing how Mike Dooley taught it. And everybody has their own take on it. Well, that's fine, except when you're trying to understand how the basics work. When you're trying to understand how the basics work and everybody has a different way of expressing it, it's like you have trouble making the connections. The connections don't always seem to fit. And for me, the one that fit the least, that gave me the most trouble, was this whole idea of, does God or the universe or whatever you want to call it, source energy, does it always answer? And if it does answer, what's the answer? Depending on who you talk to, in Christian circles, it's usually something along the lines of, well, yes, God answers all prayers, but sometimes the answer is no. And that never really felt quite right. It didn't really seem to make sense.
I heard that one quite a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure you did, right, through charismatic experiences that you had. The other argument that it can take a while for requests to be answered, for prayers to be answered, kind of made some sense, but it also seemed a bit arbitrary because two different people could ask essentially the same question and get two different time periods, vastly different time periods, on when they were going to get an answer. And even then, the answer wasn't always the same. And then I heard the thing about how, well, the universe doesn't understand what the word no means. I said, okay, so I was trying to make sense out of that. How do you work with that? What finally made sense to me is actually one that I came up with. I pieced together what everybody else was saying, and I came up with this. The universe always answers yes, but we often contradict our own requests. And so that's why it seems like the answer is no. Like, for instance, if I request, I want a new friend. Bring me a new friend in my life. And then I'm having a conversation with another friend, and I'm saying, no, I'm never getting new friends in my life. I just issued two contradictory requests.
So exactly.
I had one request, and the universe answered, yes, I'm going to bring you a new friend. And in the process of doing that, I talked to somebody else. I said, I never get any new friends. And the universe said, yes, I promise you, I will not bring you any new friends. And when I thought of it
I came to that same conclusion.
You did? Oh,
the
okay.
The answer is always yes, but we're the only thing that keeps the yes from actually showing up in our world.
Right.
Because of our contradictive vibrational energy.
Yes, exactly. And that makes total sense to me. It also explains why belief is so important. Because if you doubt, that's a way of saying, no, I don't want it. Which is weird, but it's true. The more that you doubt, the more you're saying, I don't want it. And that's not what we think of, is it?
Or I don't think it's going to happen for me.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it pretty much amounts to the same thing, but yeah, sure.
I mean, I would say one of the things I was aware of growing up, or actually I was aware of it as an adult, but I learned it growing up, is I kind of grew up with a lot of superstition.
Hmm, okay.
And, like, I remember my Nana saying, you know, like, if there was a plane crash, she'd always go, oh, two more plane crashes are coming. And I'd go, huh? Because plane crashes always happen in threes.
Hmm.
And so then she would count, and it could take a month, it could take 2 months or a year, and she'd go, there's two.
Yeah, right.
And she'd be waiting for that third one, and then three would hit. And so then it was like, oh, yay, we can be relieved because three is over. And then another one came, and then she'd go, oh, they come in three, so another two are on their way. Now, as I was getting a little bit older and I had more deductive reasoning in my thought process, I'm like, you know, planes fly all the time. Chances of planes crashing is just a part of planes flying. And it had nothing to do with they happen in threes. They just happen. But it was her belief that they happened in threes that kept her focus on counting in increments of three. Well, that was one superstition I grew up with, and I eventually let that one go. I don't believe that to be true anymore. But there were other little subtle superstitions that I think had seeped into my thought process. And I noticed that when I would want to focus on something I really wanted in my life, that it felt like the same superstition about things happening in threes when it came to, do I really believe that God is going to answer my prayer?
Mm.
You know, or I need a new car. Will I be able to afford the car that I want? And you know, people would say, well, you know, anything is possible. I heard that so much growing up. Anything is possible. Anything is possible. And I what I started to recognize was, for me, anything is possible almost was superstitious because it was more of a matter of luck. It wasn't anything you could do to control. It just arbitrarily either happened or it didn't, because that's, to me, and I could be using the word wrong, but that to me is what the essence of superstition is. It's like you're trusting in something very arbitrary, but you have no control over the outcome.
Okay.
And so for me, kind of growing up, you know, for many years, when there was something I really, really wanted and I just wasn't seeing it happen, I could, you know, other people would try to console me by saying, well, it's possible. I mean, you know, it happened for this person and this person. It could happen for you. But my belief on that was, well, but if it's going to happen for me, I have nothing to do with it. It's like it's arbitrary. And I really didn't know that I really believed that God was going to produce it. it was more like the same energy that produced three airplane crashes was mm-hmm. somehow behind whether I was going to get the car of my dreams or not.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if that sounds like, even as I'm saying, I'm like, wow, I've never really talked about this out loud. That sounds really funky.
Well,
I'm not some weird way to believe.
I'm not quite sure how you tie it together. It's like I'm kind of waiting for the final tie together, and I don't know what that is.
Well, it's kind of like unless something showed up in my life as this is the thing I wanted, then I had evidence that it was really that either if I was praying to God, that God really did produce the answer to my prayers.
Hmm.
I needed the evidence because I don't feel like I knew how to just trust or have faith that it would happen. It was more, it just felt very arbitrary.
Well, when you were talking about that, the thought that kept going through my head is you used the phrase, anything is possible. And in my experience, particularly growing up, whenever that phrase was used, it was always used as a caveat. It was never used as, this is what I think is actually going to happen. It was, well, anything is possible, but, and then the but was what they were really talking about.
Yeah, and I guess that's what anything is possible kind of meant to me. It was, and that's why I'm putting that it was arbitrary. It could happen, but I didn't put a whole lot of weight or a lot of faith or trust in the idea that anything is possible because I didn't see things show up in my life evidentially. Did I make up that word? Maybe. I didn't see the evidence of those things very often when I was banking on, well, it's possible.
And I always thought that it's possible was basically a dismissal. It was a way of dismissing whatever that other alternative was. Doing it nicely, you know, I'm not going to really diss it, but I am going to dismiss it because it really isn't going
to
happen.
You know what? That's really good. I like that, Walt, because I think that is the energy that I was really feeling. I just didn't put it in those words. It was like just being a dismissal. Like somebody was trying to throw out some little statement so they could end the conversation because they didn't really have any solid encouragement to inspire me that this thing that I wanted would really happen.
Yep.
It was kind of a conversation ender, you know, well, mm-hmm. anything's possible. And then it's like, okay, let's go eat.
Yeah, right. Boy, am I glad I avoided that argument, right?
You know, I think the one of the things that's behind all of this is that as beings, you know, how much consciousness are we really choosing to have in any given moment on any given subject? Because if we just let life just happen, you know, which is like living by default, then it's just that. Everything does kind of appear or feel arbitrary.
Oh, yeah. And it doesn't necessarily feel good either.
And I mean, some people are totally fine living their lives like that, and I have no judgment for it whatsoever. I just happen to have been a control freak very early on. And so I think what I most loved about learning that we are the creators of our own reality is that it meant I had something to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like when I would pray and just hope with a superstition that God or somebody was going to answer my prayer. It's like now that I knew I was the creator of my own reality, it's like, oh, cool. So how can I engage in this thing that I desire to bring it about? That's a fun game for me.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, I like that.
And I can see how that would become like a very inviting way to kind of get involved in the whole metaphysics and philosophy behind the law of attraction. It is empowering. It makes you feel better. It makes you feel like you're in control. It makes you feel like you are a creator. And just knowing that possibility is actually a reality, it just feels better. The thing that gets me about the whole lead up to my understanding of that was before when I was living by default, because that's what I was taught to do. I was trained by my society to live by default. And there's a whole metaphysical philosophy that goes along with that. Within that metaphysical philosophy, I mean, there are a lot of ways you can paint the picture, and I'll try to do it in as non-religious a way as I can. The picture was basically that every person is a victim of their circumstances. We are all victims of fate. And whatever happens, happens. And when it happens, you know, you can either react negatively, positively, whatever you want, but it's just going to happen anyway. You have no control. And that never felt right. It just didn't feel...
Even you talking about it feels so...
Oh, it does.
To me. But yet, I believe that too.
Yeah. And every time I was taught that, I was taught it by the people who I trusted. I was taught it by the adults I trusted. And by peers, too. Peers told me the same thing. Everybody in society was basically, in one way or another, reinforcing the same thing. I mean, they were taking me by the arm and saying, well, this is the way it actually works. But all of the hidden messages were saying the same thing. They were very consistent. And every time that I heard that message, I just felt it in my gut. Well, that doesn't feel right. That doesn't make sense. Because that's the model of us being the created toy playthings of the creator. Like,
right.
So that's all I am. I'm a plaything. That's it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that just doesn't feel right. No matter how I try to get my brain around that, nothing about that makes any real sense to me. It just seems completely inaccurate.
Well, and like you, I was very logical. I still am very logical in my thought process about why things worked. I was always trying to connect things, like what was the cause and effect kind of
mm-hmm.
thing.
Yeah, oh, sure, me
and
too.
So because I was raised in the church, you know, there were always prayer meetings and prayer circles and, you know, healing, you know, circles and special events just for people to get healed. And I watched the people who desired healing of anything, whether it was a cold or a broken leg or a cancer or some, you know, horrific thing. There were some people that definitely had a complete turnabout in their health,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the church called it a miracle.
Mm, sure.
And I would sit back and go, how did that happen? And then the same another person with the same ailment would go through the same rigmarole where somebody would pray over them, cast out demons, and do all the things that were done for the other person who got a complete turnabout and was now in health, and this person passed away. And, you know, I just looked at this going, I want to understand what the difference is.
Yeah.
I mean, because unfortunately what I was taught was, well, that's because the person who passed away, because they didn't have a heart filled with faith. But the person who did get the remission of whatever they were going through, that's because they had greater faith. They had greater belief in it. And I got to tell you, I had a hard time swallowing that one. That one was really hard for me because I knew so many people over all the years that I was in that religious belief system. I saw so many well-meaning, pure of heart, at least this was my opinion, individuals who end up dying and they didn't get the healing that they were seeking. And so, you know, then the next thing was, well, but nobody knows what's really in someone's heart. So maybe
right.
they really weren't the person of faith that you thought they were.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's the cool thing that once I came into the understanding of the law of attraction, it kind of put all those mysteries to bed. Because I recognize that each one of us, we believe what we believe, but because we're the creator of our own reality, you know, only the things that get created in a positive way show up because there's no resistance in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, I'm going to bring this full circle back to me and the superstition thing.
Okay.
Because for me, I would say when I was believing and hoping, and I mean hoping, maybe not really believing, hoping that I would get the miracle, it had an element of superstition. Because what I didn't know then was how I was creating the resistance. I had so much contradictory thought process in the mix, such as I was doubting left, right, and all over the place. I'm like, God, you know, do I warrant this healing? Am I worthy enough? Do you love me enough? Is that what it's going to take? I mean, I've done all these things. You know, shouldn't that, like, give me points so that I'll get healed? You know, and those were the thoughts both of me as a small child as well as me as a grown adult.
Mm-hmm.
But law of attraction just turned all of that on its ear and helped me make sense of it all. And it wasn't that a loving God was arbitrarily deciding whether you had done enough penance or whether you had done enough good works or whether your faith was strong enough. It all comes down to what I would call this mechanism called law of attraction, matching things up. And that's not arbitrary. That's a law. That's science. It's just we weren't trained in that. You know, when I was in the church, I was told not to pay attention to those things that today I'm paying attention to.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
I'm sorry, say that again, Walt.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Exactly, exactly. Which I love Wizard of Oz.
Oh, me too.
It's the most wonderful spiritual metaphor movie of all time. But for me, I was looking for, growing up, I was looking for evidence that you prayed a prayer and you got a positive result. And to me, that was the evidence I was looking for in order for me to believe in the system that I was being taught was the right way to be.
It's an interesting thing because while you were talking there, I did a little research. I realized I didn't have a real clear definition of what the word superstition meant. So I looked it up. And you're going to be very interested in this definition. Superstition is the excessively credulous belief in and reverence for supernatural beings. A second definition is a widely held but unjustified belief in supernatural causation leading to certain consequences of an action or event or a practice based on such a belief. And that's a really interesting definition. Because
wow.
I can conceive of a lot of critics of the law of attraction saying, well, they're just superstitious. Now, that's not the way I see it, but I can see people saying that. Superstition is a very interesting word because it's a word that has an emotional connotation to it. It's a word that says, I don't really buy into that, so I'm going to put a label on it that's superstition. And I'm not saying there was anything wrong with your use of the word superstition. I'm simply saying I find that interesting. It becomes a very useful word for dismissing something we don't believe.
Hmm. I'm not sure I have been using the word superstition accurately. But nonetheless, whatever we want to call it, I know that I have always been looking for evidence. I've always wanted to put, you know, here you do this and you get this result. And so when we think about faith or trust, it's a non-tangible where you're hoping and or expecting a certain outcome, even though you don't see necessarily any pieces or parts to give you reason to expect something.
Okay.
And so for me personally, evidence has always been a really big deal. I love certainty in things, and to me, evidence is a level of certainty. When I see a result and I can tie it back to maybe a cause, it gives me a sense of, okay, I'm seeing how this works. And even though I know this is contradictory to what I said earlier, which is I'm learning how to just enjoy whatever shows up and not always ask the question, I wonder what I did in order to create this wonderful feeling. I am learning to let go of that now. I'm kind of letting you in on who I have always been. My internal workings has been, how does stuff work? I want to understand how stuff works.
Well, I'm with you with that. I'm totally with you because I've always wanted the same thing. I wanted to understand how this stuff worked. In fact, some of the conversations I've had both with Joel and David, David in particular just likes to rag on me. Like he wants to say, you know, leave it alone. Just, you know, it works. Just go with it. He doesn't want us to be messing around with, you know, how does the whole thing work? Don't go there. He keeps saying, and you know, he's got a point because the more time that you spend on how is more time that you're not actually applying it. But I'm like you. I'm with you. I've often wanted to know how. How does that work? How is it all put together? And my whole makeup is based on that. Now, the one thing that I think is perhaps slightly different from the way you've done it is, yes, I wanted to know the evidence, but I also realized pretty early on that I often can't even detect what the evidence is. Because the way things happen makes it almost impossible to track the step-by-step. I mean, the few stories that I do like to tell, I was able to piece together the step-by-step. But so often, I get results and I say to myself, how the heck did that happen? And I can't even begin to piece it together. I know that there was an origin, a beginning. I know there was a final result. I might have seen one or two steps in the middle, but the rest of it's just blank to me. I have no idea how it happened. And yet it did. And you see that often enough, and you say to yourself, well, I don't think looking for evidence is going to work every time.
Well, so here's one of the things that I know that in my world, if there's something that I'm desiring and it just doesn't feel very plausible, like where I am, you know, vibrationally and what my current belief system is, feels like it's dwarfed in compared to what's necessary to believe this thing that's really huge. And so sometimes I'm like, okay, so what's a small step that I can take to move in that direction? And one of the questions I will ask the universe is, can you give me just something evidentiary, something tangible that will allow me to kind of sink my teeth into believing that this is possible? It doesn't have to be the end result. But if you'll give me something along the way so I just have something that's tangible, it'll help me move in that direction. And I almost always get those answers. You know, and it could be I'm driving and all of a sudden I'll see a billboard and it'll have, you know, some phrase on it which totally fits with whatever it is I'm asking for. And that to me is a sign. Mm-hmm. That's like, okay, that was the evidence because I asked for it and my eyeballs decided to look at that billboard instead of the other side of the highway billboards. And that was, you know, to me, evidence that what I'm asking for is moving in the right direction.
So it's kind of like the approach that some people use. They want to ask, get a question answered. So they'll take a book, any book, and they'll ask the question, and they'll randomly open the book and read the first thing that they see and treat that as if that were the answer. Kind of that kind of thing?
No.
No, not that. Okay.
I know what you're talking about. No, I just ask the universe for evidence. Like, it kind of like, help me move toward believing this thing that I really desire. Because I know I'm far away from it because when I think about it, it feels, no, it's not going to happen. Or it feels like, I just don't see how it's going to happen. It seems like so far away from where my personal life experience is.
So you're looking for something to kind of reinforce because you know that's not a great space to be in. That, you know, that's like a contradictory space.
Exactly.
So you want to get out of it.
Right. And so I ask the universe to just give me some evidence or something that will allow me to start to move my belief system toward the thing that I desire.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost always get it.
It kind of recalls to me a discussion that I saw in a Facebook group on the law of attraction. There are quite a few of those around, I've discovered. And I was following one of them. There was a guy who had posted something. He was from South Africa, I believe. And he had posted that he was something like he was trying to attract more wealth in his life. And he had found a few coins on the ground, including some silver and gold coins. But he didn't seem to be attracting the wealth into his life that he wanted. And I'm thinking to myself, but you just attracted it. It's right there. You picked it up. And by the way, gold coins are worth about $1,200 an ounce. What are you looking for? So, I mean, at what point is evidence evidence? That's what I'm asking. I mean, apparently that wasn't enough evidence for him. So what is evidence?
Well, and you know, if that wasn't something he like made the connection, that those gold coins were actually evidence, then, okay, law of attraction will hit find another way to get his attention. But something that happened to me a number of years ago, I was in a really, both my husband and I were really bad financial place.
Hmm.
Both of us looking for work. We had so little financial resources that back in the day, it cost $1.25 to get the Sunday newspaper that had the classified ads in it.
Right.
And the thought of spending $1.25 just felt like that was more money than I felt I could afford.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And yet at the same time, I thought, but if I don't have the classified ads, how can I start looking again this week for any new jobs because I'd been looking, but I knew I, you know, every Sunday the new classified ads would come out. And I had this thought, and trust me, it was one of these fleeting thoughts. I didn't put any stock into it, but I remember after the fact, the thought was, gosh, I just wish I could get a Sunday paper without having to pay for it.
Okay.
So anyway, my husband and I, we'd get in the car because we had someplace we had to go, and we had literally pulled out of our driveway and had only gone about 10 feet in the direction we needed to go, and I went, stop! And he went, what? I said, stop! Just stop the car. So we did. I opened the car door, and I got out. I swear to God, there was a brand new, not yet read, Sunday newspaper that had the classified ads, and it was sitting there in the middle of the street.
I love it.
And I even looked in the corner, and it said $1.25, and I went, oh, my God. Nothing was more exciting to me that day than the fact that I had this paper and it cost me nothing, and now I could continue my search for a new job. But that has always stuck in my mind because that was evidence to me that when I put just even the smallest thought into the universe, that the universe heard me and provided the answer.
That's interesting, too, because you described how the universe will realign itself to provide evidence that's meaningful to you. And that apparently was going to be the kind of alignment that was meaningful to you. I mean, it's quite possible. I don't know. You were the one who was there. It's quite possible that there had been other examples of, you know, a newspaper that you could use within your reach and you just didn't see it. That, I'm not saying that that happened. I'm just saying it could have happened. But if it did happen, the universe said, okay, well, okay, she didn't see that. We'll put it right in the middle of the road where she can't miss it.
I mean, it was like I had lived in that house for years. I had never once seen a brand new newspaper just thrown out. It wasn't even rolled up. It was just, you know, in its normal folded in half version.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing was like someone had taken it off the newspaper stand and just placed it in the middle of the road in front of my house. And I'm like, oh, my God. Now, to me, that was evidence. That's what I call it. That was evidence that my thoughts are heard and my thoughts are answered.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I was no longer part of a religious organization, and so I wasn't looking for it to be God. I just knew that whatever entity bigger than me, there was something that heard my thought and responded.
I wonder,
and that, to me, is the ultimate ask and it's given.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if there is a difference between evidence and reassurance, because that really sounded like reassurance to me.
I would say I want evidence for the purpose of reassurance. So
oh,
I would
okay.
say they're probably synonymous, yeah.
Okay. Well, for you, they probably are. I mean, I think that I asked that question in part because of what I said earlier, that often I can't trace the trail of evidence. I can see pieces of it, but a lot of it's just, you know, obscured. And so I don't really know if it's good evidence or not. But in all those cases where I've been looking for something like that, what I wanted and what I would get was reassurance. It was the reassurance that I really cared about. And if I had to evaluate it as evidence, I'm not sure I could always have trusted it as evidence, but I did trust it as reassurance.
I would say that in this case, with the newspaper metaphor or situation, it was definite for me reassurance and evidence that when I have a desire, it's heard and acknowledged by the universe.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's, well, that's perfectly fair.
That became like almost a foundational understanding for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I am heard. I know I'm heard. I may get in my way. I may throw up all sorts of roadblocks. But when I get myself where I remove all my roadblocks, I know that the universe hears me. Because that situation kind of put it there so that I never doubted that again. I know I'm heard. I know I'm heard by the universe. Because to me, that was so insignificant, getting a $1.25 newspaper, that was so insignificant in the, when you think about all the many issues going on in our universe, that was so insignificant, but it said, but we heard you.
And it wasn't insignificant to you, that's for sure. You know, the way we
it was major.
Oh, yeah. The way we originally phrased the question for the show was, why do we seek evidence? And I'm not sure we've really addressed why. Do you have any sense about why?
Well, okay, so I said, why do we need evidence in order to trust that the law of attraction
right.
is really working on our behalf? I think overall, I mean, for me, because the way I grew up, there wasn't evidence. It was so arbitrary. And so I carried my religious beliefs into the law of attraction world.
Okay.
And I think as a society, we're very evidence-based.
I think that's true. I mean, just about any field of endeavor that I can think of certainly wants evidence for whatever it is. So certainly we'd be transferring that over to something metaphysical when we're exploring something metaphysical.
I think where this really was playing around for me earlier is I was thinking about how I got the internal sense I needed to stop trying and efforting so hard to get this one thing in my life that I really wanted, and that I needed to slow down the negative momentum and give time for it to slow down enough so that it could start making a turn toward what I do desire.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had been throwing the contrasting resistance on fire for quite some time. And there was a gap where I was doing nothing toward the thing I wanted, and I'm like, I'm now in the space of, do I have faith and trust that doing nothing is going to work on my behalf? And I got to tell you, I kept wanting evidence. I wanted to see something manifest to let me know it was okay for me to do nothing. And in that particular case, I didn't get any evidence. I did, because what I kept getting was, just let it go. Just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that might be a strange way to say that was evidence, but I was getting further communication that told me, hang in there, keep going, follow this path that we've given you. This is, it's like, this. That's all the evidence you're going to get. Hold on to it. But, you know, we don't always want to trust even what messages we receive. And
well, that,
then again,
that falls
even
into
have
the category.
The awareness of receiving them.
Yeah, that falls into the category that I was talking about. I see that as reassurance. And
okay.
It's definitely reassuring, especially if you trust those messages. And you've made it very clear you do trust those messages when they come through. So there's definite reassurance there. Is it evidence? I guess it's evidence if you think it is. I mean, like I was saying before, there's so much that I would say people count as evidence in law of attraction work that from a purely scientific point of view, I'm not sure I could actually count it strictly as evidence. It's not something I could reproduce, for instance. It's not something, you know, where I could conduct an experiment and produce the same result as a scientist would do. But is it reassuring? Yeah. Yeah, it's always reassuring. So I guess that's the way I look at it. Anyway, we've got about a minute and a half left, and I want to make sure we get a couple of messages in before our time is up. First and foremost, if you have not yet subscribed to the podcast, please do so you can continue to get these. You heard what Wes was saying, how he's been following us for months now and how much value he's getting out of it. We want you to get the same value, too. So just subscribe either by going to the website at loatoday.net, or if you're on an iPhone, do it through the iTunes Store or through your podcast software, either one. You can just do a search in either place on the phrase LOA today. And if you are on an Android phone like Wes was, you can do it through the Google Play Store. Just, again, do a search on LOA today. And Wendy, if they are also looking for a little private assistance, how can they do that with you?
They can find me at wendydillard.com.
It's always so simple with you. I love how it's always so simple.
I want to make it simple. And I do want to add one little something. We want everyone to be reassured that we are here every day for you at 4 Eastern, Monday through Friday, except because next Monday is Christmas.
It is indeed.
We want everybody to spend the day with their family, so we will not be doing the show on next Monday.
But you can tune in on first thing Tuesday morning, because Tom Wells is going to sit with me in place of Cindy Chavez, and we're going to be right back at it. So please next time join us here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye now.